Welcome back to Let's Talk Ed and Zahi. We are talking about the value proposition of higher ed. We're talking about students that are now choosing intentionally not to go to college because of everything else that is out there, a variety of reasons. You can go back to our first episode in this and listen to some of those reasons. So we're not here just to complain. We're here to come up with some ideas for solutions. And Zahi, I know you live specifically in that academic world. What are some of the things that we need to be thinking about with our degrees and our programs to make sure we are still being attractive to students?
Yeah, that's to use the cliche, that's the $1 million question and or 64,000 or whatever the number you like, the 800-pound gorilla in the room, sort of thing. But it is truth. And it is truth because many of us are still stuck to the idea of how we went to college. Many of us still consider what we hold as our experiences or as what we value is what people need in the workforce. And I can't tell you how much irritation it causes me that our transfer AA and AS degrees don't have advisory committees. We don't listen to what employers need. And that's problematic, in my opinion. We've talked about it in the past, and I think you share my my aversion to us believing that we hold the truth. So listening and being really not avant-garde. We're not asking people to go out on a limb. We're asking them to be responsive. And in academia, I'm going to say it because I can. Many of us don't want to hear what others think about us. And it doesn't matter where you stand on the political, ideological, philosophical spectrum or whatever state you're in, we hear it all the time. Well, people have a say and their say has to have an impact. Why am I saying that? Because people vote with their pocketbook and their feet. And when for couple of decades now, we have not seen the numbers turn around and the confidence of people. Yes, there is more today high school and college completers than there was 50 years ago. But the confidence in higher education is at a low point and will continue to slide. So people are voting. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things you brought up in our first episode on this, and it's something that we've seen before. We've seen it at the college that we both worked at. I know you've seen it at other colleges you've worked at where people go out into the workforce and they get that degree and they're applying for jobs and they run into a situation where a company will put them at the same level as somebody without any education at all. And, you know, what we have always said is that college degree is going to be what puts you above somebody else when it comes to finding a job because you have more knowledge. And we've seen it before, too, where people are getting hired and they're completely retrained for months. And it really makes it easy to question, was that degree worth it? And again, if you're going in up against somebody off the street with nothing in that industry versus you that just spent a year or two getting a certificate or a degree and you have knowledge in that industry, like, shouldn't you automatically be above somebody that comes in with zero of that experience?
But really, should that person get higher salary if we're disassociated with what the need of the employer is, right?
And
that's a question.
Yep, and that's exactly where I'm going. So it shows from our employers that maybe they don't have a tremendous amount of confidence in how we are training that workforce. And, you know, is it a case where we aren't listening during these advisory councils when we have them for our career and technical programs? Is it that we are teaching outdated practices? All of those things are things that we really need to consider. And we've talked about it before, is, you know, we can't be teaching the skills of 5 years ago. We need to be teaching the skills of 5 years from now, really, and preparing people for what's coming versus what was. And it can be really, really easy. And we've all talked about problems with budgets and all of that, that, you know, we're doing what we can with what we can. You know, we'd love to teach 5 years from now, but we have equipment that was taken off the line 20 years ago, and that's all we have.
That's an excellent point. But not everything is equipment, right? So a lot of it is in how we approach and how we evaluate our faculty and our programs. And we tend to, in my opinion, and I might be totally wrong, and I'd like to hear from people, even anger is okay here. But in my perspective, we evaluate people on a gotcha basis, as opposed to, this is how we're going to help you grow. This is our focus on your growth as a teacher and as a subject matter expert. I don't see that happening very often. Additionally, as we keep on talking about what you fund is what you don't just condone, but what you promote. So we bog ourselves down in, you know, building new buildings, which is fantastic. We bog ourselves down in certain things that limit our budgets and make them less flexible. But at the same time, where is our investment in the professional development of our faculty and staff? Therefore, in the growth of our students. So let's go to the solutions, right? Start talking academic solutions. Yes, we've talked about open educational resources as reducing costs. Well, what does that entail? It entails that the faculty need to research those, right? Spend time looking into things. And it can include making your own educational resources, not just relying on somebody else's. And our friend of the show, Kirby Lund, has created that, right? He has a whole website that he has put together. It goes into, you know, changing the thought process. You know, the ABC, false, true, false, and fill in the blank was fantastic in the 80s. You know, you get your Scantron, you throw it in, voila, you've got your lovely result. But is that how the world operates? The world operates with many individuals using mobile devices. The world operates on including the military using artificial intelligence. So why are those banned in our classrooms, right? Those are changes in practices that would mirror changes in the workforce need. Therefore, we are also preparing our students. Is that a rant, or do you agree with those as starting places?
I agree with that. And I would add, and this is something we've talked about before too, is when we do bring in new faculty, what are we doing to onboard them? What are we doing to lay out those expectations? And, you know, again, not everybody innately knows how to teach. We may have somebody that is a wonderful subject matter expert in, you know, nursing or construction, welding, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But that doesn't automatically make them a good teacher.
Right.
The other thing, too, is, you know, what are we doing beyond handing students a degree after, you know, a couple of years? How are we helping them develop their portfolio so that when they do go out and apply for jobs, they have specific things that they can demonstrate that they have learned beyond just, I have this degree in whatever. So, you know, making them a more attractive employee. So we have been talking about some of the solutions to trying to make sure we bring in those students that are now eschewing higher education in favor of going out into the workforce right away, or just trying to figure things out after high school. So if you enjoy topics like this, be sure and subscribe to us here on YouTube. Ring that bell down below. You'll get notified when we post new content. And of course, the more you like this, you comment, you share this, the more like-minded people it reaches. And you can find Let's Talk Ed on all of your favorite podcasting platforms as well. So for Dr. Zahi Atallah, I'm Chris Ford. We'll see you next time right here on Let's Talk Ed.